Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All right, this is a little bit of a fun run for the Brewers. Four out of their last five, they take the opener against the Nats, get a little bit of revenge from that series back at home a little less than a month ago. 6-1, the final today, carried a no-hitter into the seventh inning. It was a fun day for the Brewers. William Contreras stays white hot. But the story, as we welcome in Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Thanks for joining us here today. The story is Jacob Mizorowski once again. Now, first, the health update. He had to exit this game in the sixth inning after striking out a batter and getting strike one to James Wood. It has been officially labeled a right hamstring cramp. Pat Murphy said post-game they are not expecting anything further than that. They will test them out tomorrow. Do not expect him to miss any time. So there's, get that out of the way here at the top. And Augie, man, we are seeing another level every time Jacob Mizorowski takes the mound, and he is on his way to going back to the All-Star game at this rate, and he is certainly making a bid to be one of the starters in this year's game.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You look at what he did tonight, 41 in through five innings. 41 of 80 pitches, over 100. I mean, he was just dynamite. And what's, you know, we talk so much about velocity, and they say everybody goes to the park when you have a Jacob Mizorowski pitching, because you can look up at the scoreboard and see 101 and 102 and the pitches that he throws, the 98 mile an hour sliders and 96 mile an hour, the 96 mile an hour changeups that he threw a perfect changeup to strike out a guy tonight. But he was so dialed into the strike zone tonight, painting the corners, making bad pitches. I don't think we saw many pitches down the middle of the plate, but you talk about a guy who's really starting to come into his own, really understanding that he's got that idea that he can locate the ball wherever he wants. He can add when he wants. He can raise the ball in the strike zone when he wants. I'll tell you what, tonight was just an awesome thing to watch him pitch and the way he went about his job.
The two at-bats that I circled today that I was really excited about from Mizorowski today to see real-time development was the 11-pitch at-bat with C.J. Abrams in the first inning. Now, maybe a year ago, maybe in September, that inning can snowball on him. After a two-out walk, after getting the first two outs on just five pitches, he walks Curtis Meade, and then he gets ahead of Abrams 0-2, but then Abrams won't die. He fouls off like six straight pitches. It goes out to be an 11-pitch at-bat and ultimately a ground out. That was the first at-bat that told me, okay, he was still making competitive pitches. CJ was fouling them all off, but he wasn't afraid to leave the zone. He only threw two balls that count, and it was 11 pitches long. And yes, Abrams got in the swing mode a little bit, but he was able to throw curveball, throw fastball, throw slider. He tried to get him off the scent as much as he could. Sometimes you tip your cap, but to me, Augie, that's an at-bat that creates momentum in either direction, right? Whoever wins that at-bat sets the tone for the rest of the day. And the fact that Miz won that at-bat, because, you know, generally we see hitters going longer, means they get to have the advantage, but not in this case. And I think that's what really catapulted Mizorowski's day today.
Yeah, it was that was a great at bat on both sides. You know, in Abrams' way of battling after an 0-2, battling to go 11 pitches, and Miz out there challenging and using all his pitches. And you know, I agree with you. That bat can change things. It can change momentum sometimes in a game depending on what the outcome was. But you know, the determination right there. You look at the pitches that Miz was making in those 11. I'll tell you what, Abrams falls off some really tough pitches to fall off. He was just hanging in there, really just getting his bat on the ball. I thought Miz made some great pitches, and then get the ground ball. I'll tell you what, that was just an electric at bat. And you know, you really on that, in one of those things, the situations when you have a bat like that from between Abrams and the pitcher Miz. I'm gonna tell you what, you tip your hat to both guys, because I'll tell you what, just fun to watch, and that's what baseball is all about. It can change momentum. Miz got the victory on that one.
And then the other at-bat I wanted to point out was in the third inning. Kind of a similar vein, long at-bat, and granted, there was nobody on base against Luis Garcia. You know, he gets ahead of him 0-2. William tries to challenge the third pitch of the at-bat to get him a strikeout. It doesn't go their way, barely misses. And then the count runs full. That one goes nine pitches long and ultimately goes back to good old number one, gets a fastball. And for Miz, I thought that was really the key to realize, okay, my fastball is something special today. He averaged 100.7 miles an hour, averaged 100.7. The total, not to correct you, though, Augie, was 43, so you shortchanged him, too, on 100-plus. But still, that's the most for him. Back-to-back starts for him where he's, you know, flirting with the all-time record. He even had one pitch. It was a ball at 103 miles an hour today for his top out. But, I mean, we're seeing it. As we talk about it all the time, big league hitters can time up fastballs. But right now, they're not timing up Miz. 14 swings and misses on his four-seam fastball today. There's a reason why he throws it more often than anything else.
You know, it's so special to see him come out. He goes through five. He's got the no-no going. He walks off. You know, he's looking comfortable. You can see that he's very composed. He understands where he's at. And he comes out the sixth inning, the first guy all strikes him out on all pitches over 100. And then Wood gets Wood before he throws a strike to Wood before he comes out of the game. That was at 100. You know, he's just amazing. He understands himself. He knows what he has to do. He locates his pitches. I was so impressed today that how he located his pitches to both sides of the plate. And when he needed it, he would elevate the ball. Once he gets ahead and he can elevate that ball, he is devastating to try to hit. But it's not only that he elevates it, he locates the elevation so well. So I just thought it was really cool. And I thought it was a strikeout, the last strikeout in the, was it the fifth inning, Dom, where he threw one changeup the whole game, but it was a perfect changeup and struck a guy out. You just watch it. And I saw the strikeout. I said, how can you even hit something like that the way he was throwing the ball tonight?
That's like the next level, right? And you're spot on. It was the fifth inning when he struck out Yorbit Vivas.
That's right.
Striking out the side in the fifth inning. At one point, he struck out the last four batters that he faced in this game before the cramps ultimately pulled him from the game in the sixth inning. So he's got to get that man some electrolytes, get that man your favorite sodium sports drink of choice, and get him back on the hill. Back in Missouri, he'll be making his next start, most likely in St. Louis, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of friends and family in the crowd for that one, making the drive over from the Kansas City area. The pitching isn't the only story today, as the Brewers win 6-1. Obviously, they carried a no-hitter into the seventh inning. Wild Bill continues to be wild and on fire. We'll talk about William Contreras and the rest of the offense next. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers extra innings, as the crew win 6-1 today over the Washington Nationals, 1-3 this weekend. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Thanks for joining us. It's a little hot and cold. It's brought to you by our friends at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. With Wisconsin's weather all over the map, man, today's the truth on that. Now's the time to get ahead of the heat with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. You can save $50 on maintenance plans through May 15th. Or get $25 off AC tune-ups all month long. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. Who's hot is the easiest answer. It's William Contreras. He's got 8 hits in his last 2 games. That's a new career high for him. He's only the 7th Brewer ever to have back-to-back 4-hit games and the first to do it in 16 years. Casey McGee, shout out to you, 2010 Brewers. A couple of teammates of yours as well. Gumby did it in 83, Cecil Cooper in 82, Ben Ogilvy in 79, also Ryan Braun and J.J. Hardy. But when William Contreras is getting hot like this, Augie, when he hits a homer yesterday, he hits a broken bat double yesterday, and a bunch of singles, that's when I think the rest of the league goes, oh, no. This guy, he's hitting it all over the field, and he just feels like you cannot get him out.
I agree. He makes such great adjustments at the plate. It's always, you know, he does a protection. He gets the 2 strikes and he protects. He gets the bat on the ball. The one base hit he got tonight, he was off stride, but he kept his hands back. He's just, I think he's so good at understanding what he needs to do to put the ball in play that he just puts the bat on the ball and good things happen. And I'll tell you why. The way he swung the bat tonight, he got a big 2-out hit in the seventh inning where he scored 2 extra runs. I mean, those at-bats, you just watch him, and you see how he goes about it. And they make some pretty good pitches on him. But I'm going to tell you, he gets two strikes on him, and he is just – he is so in sync about what he needs to do, staying back, keeping his hands back. You can even get him off stride, but he keeps his hands back, and he'll just put the ball in play. And I tell you what, it's so much fun to watch. You know, yesterday he hit the home run, and that's fun to watch. And we do need home runs a little bit more than we have in the past. But I tell you what, the Brewers are manufacturing runs, and I tell you, right in the middle of it is William Contreras.
And you bring up a good point, too. Three of the four hits today, Augie, came with two strikes. And on the day, of all the pitches that he saw, I see 4, 6, 11, 13, 19 pitches he saw today. He didn't swing and miss at a single one of them. That's how locked in he is right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, you just see him. He's so dialed in. He understands what he has to do. And I think he understands situation. He has such a good idea. I don't know if he gets it because catching pitches, he understands how pitchers will pitch and throw different style pitches. But even you look at the style of pitches, you can throw them off speed. You can try to get them away. You can try to pitch them in. He's just good enough to take the ball on the inside part of the plate, fight that ball off, get the ball out over the plate, and he's going to put it in play. And I'll tell you what, the last 2 days, he's been special.
The anomaly of this box score for the Brewers is, yes, they scored 6 runs. Yes, they won the game. They had 12 hits. 9 of them were singles. They were only 4-for-17 with runners in scoring position. They still left 13 runners on base. They continue to load up the base path. And I just want to shout out Tyler Black because he's 2-for-3 today. He's now, since returning to the big leagues, 9-for-21 in his first 6 games with 4 doubles. And we talked about it briefly in spring training with Pat Murphy, how excited he was to see a new version of Tyler Black. And well, it helps to see a new version for one, but it's another thing to immediately see results for Tyler Black because in the absence of Christian Yelich right now, having a lefty that can spray it and can give you some doubles, man, it's great to see what the Brewers always envisioned out of the Canadian from the left side.
Yeah, he is. I'll tell you what, the two doubles that he hit tonight, they're going the opposite way. They were special at-bats, but you know, Tyler Black has always been one of those guys. He's come up and it just seems that over the last few years he's had those struggles. He couldn't just find himself at the plate, but he looks just so much more confident at the plate. He's more patient at the plate. He's taking what he's giving. Today, the balls that he hit the opposite way, I'm going to tell you what, he stayed back on the ball, and he just let the ball travel and just put the bat on it, and he did a great job. The Brewers really needed someone to come in and step up and give them a little help, you know, and I think Tyler Black has done a great job since he's been here.
Yeah, he's plugged in a very niche role. He probably won't be in the lineup tomorrow facing a left-handed pitcher, but I just wanted to shout him out with a pair of doubles today and hitting the ball hard, hitting the ball with authority. Now, there's a difference because he's a guy that has such an elite eye. We all know that's his best tool, but sometimes there's such thing as being too passive and too picky where I was talking to Sal, and this is in yesterday's Brewers Weekly. It's okay to hit a ball a couple of inches off the plate. If you can still do damage with it, you can. And I think Tyler is certainly learning that because pitchers will pitch him knowing, oh, you know, the scouting report hasn't been updated. He's not going to swing at this pitch on the edge because he's going to take it. He's a passive hitter, and he's slapping it down a left field line. And then all of a sudden, you got a man at scoring position. And as a pitcher, Aki, you got to be on your heels. Like, wait a minute, that's not what the scouting report says.
Yeah, you know, it just seems lately, Dom, especially this year, and I noticed it in spring training a couple of times when I watch him hit, he's a lot more patient at the plate. He lets the ball travel a little bit more. But it seemed like last year, pitchers could get in on him. They could go and get on the inside part of the plate, throw a strike on the inside part of the plate, or go up and in a little bit off the plate, and he would try to adjust to that. It seems now he says, you know what, you can do that, but I'm not going to swing, and I'm going to stay back, and I'm still going to let the ball travel. And I tell you, that's what he's done. He's hit the ball, he's pitched. Those balls are away from him. He takes the bat to the ball and put a great swing on him. I think that's really made a big change in him, where I saw before they would try to get in on him and show him that they wanted to get in on him, and then he would try to make the adjustments. Now he's just saying, no, I'm not going to allow that. I'm going to stay patient. I'm going to let the ball travel and hit it where it's pitched, and he's done a great job.
He's been somebody worthy of shouting out. Bat speed is slightly up as well. Certainly some nerdy changes that we can point out. Maybe we'll save that for his Brewers Weekly. Let's talk about some unsung heroes on this team right now, because one of them pitched some very important innings in this game, and we'll also give you the update on Brandon Woodruff coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Quick injury update, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, if you're hanging out with us on a Friday night. Brandon Woodruff was placed on the injured list today with right shoulder inflammation. It's a fancier way of describing dead arm, but granted, the MRI did not reveal anything structural, and even Woodruff was very optimistic. We'll play some of that audio tomorrow in Brewers warm-up. Was very optimistic about the fact that this could be a minimum stay, let the arm, you know, sort of regain its strength. We're not saying he's going to come back throwing 96 off this injured list, but the sooner he gets back to 92, 93, the better, because he was being a pretty effective pitcher in that regard. And Augie, the thing that I think I've been so impressed with Woodruff is how in tune he's been with his body and with his new arm, surgically repaired shoulder specifically, the last couple of years. And he's always been very honest with the Brewers whenever he's not feeling right. And look, we all saw it in the first inning yesterday. Sitting 85 just ain't going to cut it for Brandon Woodruff. It certainly rings alarm bells, and he convinced them to say, let's just see if it comes back out here in the second inning. It didn't, and he said, all right, let's go get it checked out. It takes a man to do that, and I think it's kudos on Woodruff to identify, let's make sure that let's get this right the first time. If it takes a little longer than 15 days, it's not the end of the world because the Brewers have the depth for it, but, you know, take me into the mind of the pitcher when it's not coming out like it's supposed to, and you have to face your ego of like, man, am I really going to come out of this game right now?
Well, you know, the one thing about Woody, he's such a competitor. I call him the warrior, because every time he goes in the game, he's going to give you that 100%. He's going to go after whatever he has to do. But, you know, the one thing about Woody, he understands what he means to this ball club. He understands what he means to this pitching staff. And he knows how important it is for him to go out there and to be able to help this team win. And I think yesterday he saw that it wasn't 100%. And when you look at Dom, you look at Woody's year and you think, kind of say, what can we get out of Woody? What would be a great year out of him? And I think when you're looking at Woody, if you could get somewhere between 20 and 25 starts and have him healthy for the playoffs, I think that's as good as you can get. And that's the success you need. So I think it's as good as Woody means to this ball club. I think Woody understands what he means to this ball club. And that takes a real leader to step up like he just did yesterday and say, if something's not right, I'm going to try to make it right. But yet, if it's not right, let's find out and make sure we can get it right. And I think that's a real sign of a leader. And I tell you, Woodruff is one of those.
And one of the things that I think helps the Brewers right now in comparatively to last year, and we talked about this as well on Brewers Weekly, is the fact that, hey, they've got depth and they didn't even need to call up a starter yet, because his next time in the rotation likely isn't even until Tuesday anyway. You could keep Shane Drouin in the rotation, just move him from the bullpen to the starting rotation. They called up Easton McGee today. And then, oh, by the way, they've got Robert Casser, they've got Logan Henderson, they've got guys on the way in AAA right now that could come up and make a spot start if they so need it. So they're in a position. Oh, by the way, Quinn Priester making a rehab outing tonight. Like, they have the arms and the personnel to handle this at this current moment.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, what was really impressive what Drouin has done over his last couple outings, that just opens up the gate for what you can do up in the big leagues. If you can start him or you can do him, what he's done has just been very, very special, how he's adapted. But you're right. They got the pitching to do it. And when you have that opportunity to be pitching rich, as this organization is, you have a guy like Brandon Woodruff, and you know what he means to the ball club. You can take that extra precautionary thing. It's even like tonight with Miz. When Miz checked into the dugout and they came walking out, I'll tell you, there was no question that the decision was made. If there was anything that was not as normal as it could be, Miz was out of the game, and they did the right thing. They can make the adjustments. You're not going to have them go out and try to throw more pitches and maybe pull a hamstring, which would really be terrible because it makes you adjust your delivery. You let him come out of the game, do what he has to do to get healthy. And I think this organization is pitching rich enough where they can do those things.
Well, the Brewers will still be waiting on Quinn Priester. His outing was not very good today down in AAA. He's still got time on this rehab assignment. But the guy that I want to point out once again, and it's no surprise, it's Aaron Ashby, because Ashby today, 2 2/3 after not pitching at all against the Diamondbacks, 2 2/3, 2 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. He has a 2.57 ERA. That's not the point that's impressive. What's impressive is that he's thrown multiple innings multiple times. He's got 34 strikeouts in his 21 innings. The ball, yes, he walks a few more guys than you like, but he counters that with strikeouts. And to have better than, what, 13 strikeouts per nine right now, quick back of the napkin math, Ashby is going to be a weapon in this bullpen for the Brewers. He gets probably the next 2 days off, but the fact that he could probably get close to 80 to 90 innings in the regular season as a bullpen weapon, that deserves to be praised. And even though he's not starting, he's probably the most important reliever on this team, including closers.
I agree with you. I think, you know, you take a starter and a starter pitches every 5 days, and you know when he's going to be pitching on Monday and Friday and the following Wednesday and all that. With Ashby, it's not that way. You can use him however and whenever you want, and you can even use him multiple days when you want. He just comes in games, and he throws strikes, and he goes right after him. His stuff is just electric the way he's been throwing the ball his last 4 or 5 outings, just being able to command the strike, command his zone real good. I thought he caught a little break tonight, though, in that 8th inning when they let off with a walk and a single, and then Wood was up there and had that 3-1 pitch, and his good friend behind the plate challenged it. That was a huge pitch, and then he struck him out with a great breaking ball. So, you know, he got a little bit of break with that. It could have got him into a little bit of trouble, but when you look at what Aaron does from day to day, how he goes about his job, how he throws any pitch he can whenever he needs to and throws it for strikes, he's invaluable. His position on this pitching staff is invaluable because he can do so many different things. His versatility, it just helps this club be a better ball club.
And by the way, that's why you make sure you always have a challenge in the final 3 innings of the game. You don't burn your challenges in like the 4th inning like we saw the other day. That was a very clutch challenge by William Contreras. Well, Augie, that's 4 out of the last 5. The Brewers have won. They'll try to make it a series winner tomorrow against the Nats, and we look forward to talking to you then.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's all we go on the road, you want to win series, and the Nats have played really good against you. So tonight they turned the page a little bit against them. So we're looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be a good ball game.
Former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine joining us here on 620 WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Back with more after this. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, a little bit later on. Highlights as well on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Text rolled in from Alex in Oshkosh. Cramps are a pain. Gained another win in the column. For Mizorowski's sake, let's hope he doesn't get on the injured list like Woody. And as for the rest of the crew, nice series opener win. The Brewers get the victory 6-1 today over the Nats. Do a little buy or sell here real quick, going down on the farm briefly. In case you missed it, a great interview with Blake Burke yesterday in Brewers Weekly in your podcast feeds or on YouTube. Brewers All Access in your pods, and it's over on ESPN Milwaukee YouTube as well for Brewers Weekly, where you can see Blake Burke smiling down in Pensacola, leading the Southern League in home runs at the time of recording. So appreciate him making some time for that. But buy or sell is brought to you by your friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. So the thing that we're selling right now is Quinn Priester. The line is not pretty as he made his 3rd outing down in AAA Nashville. 2 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, all earned, 2 walks, a strikeout, and a homer. He got 3 ups. He pitched 1 batter in the 3rd inning. Look, the thoracic outlet treatment normally requires surgery, and right now they have found a non-surgical method to try to get him back on the field, see how he's feeling. Now I want to hear from the horse to see, you know, how he's actually feeling and how he's actually reacting, but having 8 walks and 5 rehab innings is certainly something to monitor right now for Quinn Priester. Now his clock goes for another 3 weeks. You get 30 days down in AAA when you're on a rehab assignment as a pitcher. So that's likely at least three more starts. Maybe they can shorten up one and go for another. But that if he can restart his spring training here and get back on track sooner as opposed to later for Quinn Priester will certainly be some good news. A guy, though, that we're buying down there in AAA Nashville, Jett Williams continues to swing the bat well, as does Luis Lara. Jett Williams, 3-for-5 with a double and 2 runs batted in. Now, this is just looking at a box score, of course. It's not the whole story with somebody like Jett. But really, over the last week or so, he has been playing a lot better, starting to hit better contact, fewer strikeouts in there as well. You go back to the 24th for Jett Williams right now. That goes back to last Friday. He is now 12 for his last 32. That's a .375 batting average and an OPS over 1,000, a pair of doubles, a pair of homers. And he has 4 strikeouts in that time, 4 extra base hits, also 3 stolen bases in that time. So keeping an eye out for Jett Williams at some point. He will be a big leaguer at some point this season. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 6-1. Jacob Mizorowski carried a no-hitter into the sixth. The team carried it into the seventh. No history today. Still just 2 no-hitters. But the Brewers get the dub. And a happy manager post-game giving an update on Jacob Mizorowski.
Great. He was great. It's funny. He had good stuff, but he didn't have his great rhythm, great timing. So he threw a lot of balls, but he was very effective and pitched great for 5 1/3, and then he cramped. And we feel pretty good about it. We're not going to test it right now because we're afraid he might cramp again. So we'll see what it is tomorrow. We're very hopeful. He feels good about it. Hopeful that's all it was. If it's more than that, then, you know, we've had a few of those in the last few days. So.
Murph, could you tell, was it in that Jacob Young at-bat when it first hit him? It was looking at the replays.
I couldn't tell.
Too hard to tell.
Yeah, have to ask him.
Did he motion to y'all to come out, or was it something? Okay. I couldn't tell from the broadcast.
What was your level of concern when he kind of reacted that way and motioned to the dugout?
You know, I've been with the Brewers year 11, probably my 12th season in the big league, so, or I don't know, something like that. Anyways, you expect the full catastrophe every year. You know, there's everything's going to happen, you know, and so I'm really hopeful that it's not that, but, you know, again, every year somehow it gets around to the full catastrophe. Not usually by May 1st, but.
Murph, what can you say about the job that Ash did then coming in and picking up?
You know, our bullpen's a little depleted with Woody going out after 4 outs yesterday, and so we're a little depleted in the pen, so it was really important. Ash gave us the 40 pitches. That's what we were thinking, and he was great and came back there in the last inning he pitched after the long sit and came back and made some big pitches at big times. William with a great challenge changed that inning and kept us from going deeper in the pen, and Ash came back strong. William was great all night, both ways, obviously. I think he's got about 12 hits in the last 2 games, it seems like. It's great to see. So.
Do you think Perkins played the Lyle hit a little bit differently?
I haven't seen it. I didn't see it on tape. I mean, I saw it live, but Perk's a good outfielder. I think he was going to make every effort he could.
The guys seemed to really jump on Jake Irvin early, getting a run on him in the first inning and then having some good hits against him. What did you like from them against him?
Yeah, I mean, Irvin, we know him well. We just saw him. It's a disadvantage for any pitcher that has seen the same team, you know, 10 days ago, I don't know how long ago it was. Excuse me for not knowing the timeline, but I know we played him, you know, fairly recently, and it's a disadvantage for any pitcher facing the same team again. And I really like the kid. I think the kid can really pitch. I don't know the kid. I don't know anything other than I've always liked the way he throws the ball and his ability to do different things. And I think he's really good. So I thought it was good. We had a good plan against him. I thought it was really good. But he made some big pitches, and we didn't hit the ball hard off him. I mean, I got one. Three. Four or five hard contacts, and you know, that's not a lot, you know. So
yeah, I mean, he's right, it's not a lot, but the Brewers still got the dub. They got more runs than the other team. It's the only stat that matters. Highlights coming up next. 6-1 victory over the Nats. Brewers get the victory 6-1. Plenty of action, not a lot of homers, but that's okay. They scored more runs. Let's get to the highlights.
Ready for this? This
brought it back.
And this,
it is gone.
Time for tonight's highlights.
Game one of a three-game set in our nation's capital. Jacob Mizorowski getting the start for the Brewers against Jake Irvin for the Nats, and it started quick for the Brewers. A leadoff double by Garrett Mitchell. Ground out got him over to third, and hey, balls on the dirt. Get home.
1-0 pitch. That missed down and away. It's going to get away from the catcher, Millis, and down the line and scoring is Mitchell. So the Brewers strike first. The double, the productive out, and what will be, I would assume, ruled a wild pitch. Looked like that ball was in the dirt. That gets Mitchell in from third, and the Brewers have a 1-0 lead.
In just 11 pitches to start the game, Jacob Mizorowski, he went no problem the first two innings of this game, a pair of walks, but he also had three strikeouts. Back to the Brewers offense in the third. A leadoff walk started the frame to David Hamilton. He stole second base during Bryce Terang's at bat. He walked with one out. Runners on first and second for Wild Bill.
The 0-1. Line drive into center field, falling in there on the grass for a base hit. Round third is Hamilton. He will score without a throw. Stopping at second is Terang on an RBI single from red-hot William Contreras. Brewers have doubled the lead. It's 2-0 here in the third. It's William's fifth RBI in the last 2 days.
More on him in a moment. Then Jacob Mizorowski really hit his groove. Starting in the third, 1-2-3 there. In the fourth, 1-2-3 there. You're starting to get the picture here, right? Well, he really blew the roof off the place in the fifth inning. But before that, the Brewers trying to add some more insurance. It's still only a 2-0 game. With one out, the Brewers get a single from Terang, another single from William Contreras. Bowers would walk to load the bases. A productive RBI ground out for Luis Ranjifo, but it was the second out of the inning. And back up in the big leagues and making his stay count, Tyler Black driving in a run.
Irvin's first pitch, and Black, a line drive into left. It is falling quickly. It is down for a base hit for Tyler Black. Contreras trots home, and the Brewers lead it 4-0 as Black into second with an RBI double.
He went 2-for-3 on the day. Both hits were doubles. And in the bottom of the fifth, making sure to cash in that insurance check and making sure that, no, this is going to be a shutdown inning from this.
0-2 pitch. And a called third strike with a fastball at 101. Jacob Mizorowski lighting up the radar gun and sitting down the Nationals here tonight in our nation's capital. He strikes out the side in the fifth, and he has retired 11 in a row.
Well, unfortunately, he would only face one more batter in this game. Cramps pulled him from this game in the sixth with still no hits for the Nationals. Ashby took over, got the final two outs of the sixth. Retired the first batter of the seventh, but then a walk and a bloop single for Dalen Lyle would be the first hit of the game. Now, the Nats would score in that seventh inning, but the Brewers would respond in the eighth with just paper cuts. Infield hit, E4, just swinging bunt, perfect bunt single, I should say, for David Hamilton, loading the bases. But then Mitchell and Terang would be retired, feeling like the rally would be for naught, but there again is William Contreras.
1-2 pitch and a ground ball through the right side into right field, a base hit. Frelick is in. Perkins around third. He will score. A two-run single for Wild Bill. He does it again. A four-hit night here in D.C.
Back-to-back four-hit nights, only the seventh Brewer to ever do so. All that was left is for East and McGee to close things out in the ninth.
2-2 pitch. Ground ball to second base. Could be two. Terang goes to second for one. On to first in time. 4-6-3 it goes. The Brewers turn two, and they have taken game one here in D.C. 6-1 your final. The Brewers now have won four of their last five.
All right, the Brewers are cooking. They're 17-14 on the season. 12 hits in the victory, no errors as well. 6-12-0. The Nats had one run on two hits, two errors. The winner is Miz. He's 2-2. He's got a 2.84 ERA. The loser is Jake Irvin. He is 1-4 and a 4.93 ERA. No save in this one. About a three-hour game at Nats Park. All right, we'll say goodbye after this as the Brewers get ready to try to win a series tomorrow. I'll tell you all about it next on 620 WTMJ. All right, mid-afternoon game tomorrow. 3:05 is the first pitch. We're on the air at 2 o'clock with Brewers warm-up. Yours truly got you covered. Southpaw battle. It'll be Kyle Harrison for the Brewers coming off of his best start of his career. A dozen strikeouts against the Pirates on Sunday. Against Foster Griffin, who pitched really well against the Brewers in the finale back in Milwaukee. He's 3-0 with a 2.67 ERA coming back from overseas. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys, but he gets a lot of weak contact when he keeps it in the yard, that is. He has allowed five home runs this season, so that is something to monitor for Foster Griffin. Again, we're on the air at 2:05 first pitch tomorrow, and then on Sunday, it'll be a 12:35 Central Time first pitch. We're on the air at noon. Chad Patrick and Zach Littell. It'll be a cutter fest in that one. Chad Patrick trying to make sure he shakes the dizziness and the loss of vision that he had from his last start against the Diamondbacks on Tuesday and get back in on track. He's got a 2.57 ERA. Then the Brewers continue on Monday on the road trip, three-game set starting in St. Louis on Monday. It'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the Lou, 6:45 on Monday and Tuesday night, and then a day game, getaway day, 12:15 on Wednesday in St. Louis. No starters have been confirmed from that yet, especially given the injury to Brandon Woodruff right now. And it also doesn't sound like Jacob Mizorowski is going to be missing his next start. Just cramps tonight was the word. But the carry to no-hitter into the seventh inning, certainly an exciting day at the ballpark for the Brewers. Real quick, other scores here in the NL Central on this Friday night. The Pirates beat up on the Reds 9-1. Pirates snap a five-game losing streak. They get back above 500. The Cubs defeated the Diamondbacks earlier today, and their ace, Zach Gallen, a 6-5 final at Wrigley Field. And then also today, the Cardinals are up 7-2 on the Dodgers. I don't think anybody expected St. Louis to about to be 19-13 in their first 32 games of the year. The NL Central, far and away, currently the best division in baseball. And in case you missed the stat, but I'll reiterate it here. For the first time in the history of the National League and the divisional era, so that goes to 1969, that here we are on May 1st, and every team in the NL Central, that any team in any division for the National League for that matter, is everybody waking up at or above 500 on May 1st. And that will continue here today with Pittsburgh winning the contest. Pretty cool stat. This division had three playoff teams last year, and they very well could be on their way to three playoff teams again this year. That is going to do it for our program this evening. Again, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Brewers warm-up for a 3:05 Central Time first pitch. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.